Dear listeners, none of us can really avoid admitting the common symptoms of selfishness and self-seeking caused by our human sinfulness. This shows up in the practice of defamation or demonizing. During an election season, a prominent politician with an extreme agenda in a country that prides itself of its democracy addressed a gathering of her supporters. She talked of what she considers effective campaign tactics. She strongly suggested the strategy of demonizing the other candidates. She openly urged to defame their opponents, destroying their reputation and smearing their character. Sadly, defaming others is a common human practice in all spheres. It often utilizes deceptions, lies, and half-truths. It's used to demonize individuals, businesses, professionals, politicians, institutions, communities, societies, nations, or racial groups. It's commonly used in religious disputes. Even academic circles, which are supposed to be of refined scholars and teachers, use demonizing against each other. Putting others down is a means of making oneself appear better and more qualified. It is simply climbing over others. Dear listeners, throughout history, most people expressed admiration and even gratitude to God for what they heard or learned about Jesus. Clearly, throughout his 33 years of earthly life, Jesus had a very admirable and successful ministry. He lived an unusual life of humble and self-giving service. His beautiful heavenly teaching and divine power were obvious to all who listened to him. They also observed firsthand his miraculous power, as well as care for the poor and socially despised people. Growing numbers of people became convinced that he was the long-awaited promised divine Messiah King. Some, however, neither knew enough about Jesus nor sufficiently understood the content of the Holy Scriptures. Such people expressed different attitudes toward Jesus. Some go as far as exercising hostility towards him and his divine message. Some persecute his followers and even call for their murder. They even pursue the strategy of deliberate defamation or demonizing. Not long ago, a politician falsely blamed Jesus for sufferings experienced by her ethnic people. She publicly stated that she was delighted that humiliation and sufferings were inflicted on Jesus and that he was finally killed as a criminal on the cross. She added that if she could, she would crucify Jesus again and again. The gospel itself records many instances of hatred and even violent opposition to Jesus and his followers. The 12th chapter of Matthew's gospel records that Jesus healed a person on the Jewish Sabbath. This angered the fanatical Pharisees. They accused him of violating their religious convictions. We read that the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Jesus' holy life and refined heavenly teaching exposed the phony religious fanaticism of those people. He stood in the way of their desire to enjoy religious prestige and political influence. They wanted to get rid of him. Yet at that point, those religious fanatics realized that they needed to make more preparations to carry out their hateful and murderous plans against Jesus. They could not yet destroy him physically. They needed to first convince the crowds who admired and followed Jesus that he is neither good nor trustworthy as a person. So they first looked for ways to cast doubt on his character. The gospel goes on to inform us of their selfish and self-centered efforts. We read that a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" As son of David, Jesus is identified as the promised king coming from the physical line of King David to re-establish an even much greater universal kingdom. David was promised the coming of such a king after him. David was even told that the kingdom of the promised king would be everlasting. The Pharisees and other Jewish leaders were well acquainted with all that the Old Testament scriptures foretold about the promised Messiah king and his kingdom. The people impressed by Jesus' healing and his authority over evil spirits expressed amazement and said, "Can this be the son of David?" And they had good reason to wonder. This obviously annoyed those religious fanatics. We read that when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." In other words, they decided to literally demonize Jesus. They were not subtle about their agenda. They simply wanted the crowds to distrust Jesus and his moral and spiritual authority. We already read that their ultimate agenda was to destroy him. Yet their attempt to demonize Jesus was not only totally baseless, but also reflected an unconscious projection of their own alliance with the devil. The fact is that Jesus healed and liberated a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute. Obviously, it was the devil who lost to King Jesus' holy power. It was the demonic kingdom of Satan that lost ground to King Jesus' kingdom. This did not please the religious fanatics. Jesus' logic is simple but profound. He said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" Jesus went further, exposing their own complicity in Satan's agenda. So he added, "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges." He clearly was pointing to the fact that some of their children would get involved in expanding his kingdom at the expense of Satan's kingdom, and they were to do so by his Spirit. He added, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Already Jesus was aware of the murderous intentions of the Pharisees, we read, Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. Clearly, all prophetic descriptions of the promised Savior Messiah King apply to Jesus, the light of the world. Those who belong to him are liberated from Satan's bondage and the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah.